intro sales process with a bunch of testimonials, you know, maybe a video piece together. I mean, you can make a hell of a package just by doing a bunch of video testimonials.
Well, have you seen the commercial?
No.
See it? I have not. Because, I mean, that's exactly what we plan on doing with it, too. We're going to DVD it and send it with our... house who comes into my kickboxing program to do the curtains and blinds and everything else.
Okay.
So that was one of the reasons why we thought it might be okay to use him, because he's a known face. I mean, he's been getting phone calls at home from women he's done work for, and somebody on TV.
Okay.
So.
Well, maybe just flip it then.
Okay.
Him at the end.
Okay.
You know, I would start with the most powerful female first.
Okay.
Well, what percentage of the ones you're getting in are pretty massively overweight?
It's probably a third. It's probably a third really overweight, a third kind of overweight, a third in really good shape.
Okay.
I mean, it's probably split evenly.
And you had the gal who lost 150 pounds. You had
that's
the other one.
Mary, yep.
You know,
Pam has dropped about 15 or 20. She's your typical 35-year-old woman, you know.
Yeah, she's not a skinny co-ed, but she's kind of normal. And so what you might want to add is
that
it does
skinny
look
co-ed for purpose.
Yeah.
Because I don't want that 18 to 22 group.
Well, but you said a third or 32 and fit. Looking at the supplement.
I didn't say that. I said that they're in good shape, but I didn't say they were in that age range at all.
Well, what age range are they in?
They're probably 25 to 30.
Okay.
Which... Okay. Any issues we have, it's that freaking group. It's always
okay.
That group. You know,
okay.
I mean, if I have a billing issue, it's that freaking group every time.
Well, put a normal, another normal
one
in, or put him towards the end.
Okay. All right, good.
Yeah. But otherwise, it's good.
It's good. Toby also, yes, Toby also recommended running the special across the bottom instead of just the URL.
If we can't play it again. You should be getting ready to send your
channel. How long is the URL on?
It's there. The URL is a little tired.
They don't have it in the ass and half of them are going to be
serious diet modification. I've lost
18
pounds. That feels just great.
It
feels just a great exercise program.
You never say can't because you don't know what you can and can't do until you try it. The results are fantastic.
So 7 months, 5 months, you'll do it.
Yeah, it's over 50 pounds.
Get free boxing gloves and free classes for just $19.99 and the ultimate fat-burning muscle-toning workout. Visit fishkillkickboxing.com.
Yeah, that's too much information. identify where you're at, what the cross street is next to, above, below.
Or around Main Street. Or right down from the Main Street.
Yeah, I would say that. Right in the middle of Main Street.
See, my only thought with that was usually because the plaza is called Gym Plaza. It's the only reason I didn't use it.
Right.
Because I didn't want to advertise for them.
Yeah.
And I don't want to use Main Street, and I'll tell you why, because that's where the new school is. The one we're trying to put out of business. Okay. They're a block of the road from me.
Yeah. We know he's there. Remember 845 South Main Street, the phone number.
Right, no, I know that. Which is why I don't even know if we put an address on there.
You did.
We did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so 845 South Main Street, the phone number.
Trying to drive them to the frickin' website.
Right.
The purple polka dot awning.
Yeah.
Look for the purple polka dot awning.
Yeah. For real, I wish.
You know how many businesses
do? Dude, I'm in the village.
I'm in the historic
village. Believe me. I would throw a lime green frickin' awning out if I could. You have no idea.
Yeah.
Anything to boost response. Yeah. I don't care. I'm good that way.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
I'm not beyond selling out.
Well, I mean, it's just a standout. I would put the offer to come in earlier. I think I would unclutter that last screen.
Okay.
I'd like to give them some easy way to find you. But they're not paying attention to anything other than is this close by, right?
Right.
So, you know, at 3rd and Main or something like that, or you know, whatever it is, might be nice from the announcer.
Okay.
You know, we're right at 3rd, right down the street from me at 3rd and Main. You know, register for free offer online.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, but I would lead with the mail.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Because a lot of women will stop watching it right away if it's not for them.
Interesting.
If you put the offer in earlier, would you like two testimonials, then the offer, then the third testimonial, or would you...
Well, I'm scrolling in the
thanks.
Right. I wouldn't say it earlier. I would just scroll
cool things.
Yeah.
So I think the second or third time.
Designing it of the actual, main curriculum, like the leadership curriculum. Can that be supplemented by somebody else successfully?
Yes.
Okay.
It can certainly be substituted by implemented by you successfully.
Yeah.
Right. So you kind of come out as a sage owner and do that. It's hard to go from like the lead guy to like part-time assistant
doing
it.
Right.
But it's easy to go the other direction.
Because it's almost perceived as, wow.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, I'm very, intelligent, very confident, employee and very valuable in many ways. The delivery of those discussions may be the hardest task I've had. Just given a skill set. Jonathan's familiar with it.
Yeah.
So that's just something
you,
that
you could easily do it.
Yeah,
I just found out have another hour.
Yeah, you could easily do it.
Great.
That's awesome.
That's
good to come
so,
here.
I just got a text from Southwest. I have another hour.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
You have been delayed.
It happened on the way down here.
Yeah, that's
too.
A big thing that I feel.
An hour delay.
I like Southwest. I always buy the get on the plane first deal, and then I get the bulkhead aisle seat right at the front. You have more leg room in first class, and everybody's intimidated to sit next to you.
Well, you buy fly enough that you have that, what's that, business?
Yeah.
The business, like 1 through 15?
No, because it's been all over the board. So I don't have like many miles built up on anybody, unfortunately.
You don't strictly fly Southwest?
I couldn't get here from Southwest. From Denver.
Your leadership discussions are
the flights get
anyone else.
So are people intimidated to sit?
Usually Chris.
But well, you know what? Well, one thing if you're right in the bulkhead
through the entire
is a lot of people don't want to
in any given span or
can't put the leverage underneath into one thing.
Like I know,
unless if you're sitting in the aisle, a lot of people will just kind of like walk on the Southwest.
Unless I'm free, in which case I'll take it over.
They'll just keep going.
Yeah, but
so I end up a lot of times.
For instance,
bulkhead with.
I know for a fact that everybody in the studio, is there by Tuesday evening, right? Just I'm sure you have something similar.
Sure.
So are you just making sure that you see everybody in a given span, or you just don't
middle seat on the bulkhead?
Because I'm over there on Tuesdays.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. I just think, I don't know, the leadership delivery I don't know.
Look, Mike, if they're happy enough to come on Tuesdays with the instructor, they're happy enough to come on Tuesdays with the instructor. If they weren't happy, they wouldn't be there on Tuesdays anymore.
No, I'm talking about the delivery of leadership discussion and, you know, Ken and his ability. So, you know...
Well, I mean, that's a different... The solution there isn't to try and get you to handle it for him, but to get him to handle it for him.
Yeah.
I mean, you know that's true. And the only question is how long of a short stopgap do you want to put up with to get him to do that? Because, you know, if you could just get him obsessed about doing this well, he'd be fine.
Yeah, I know, because he has a very obsessive personality, wants to be the best at what he does.
The trip to West Point is a big deal, right?
Yeah.
Get him to read West Point Way of Leadership, bring him to West Point. Talk about how fabulous black folks will be if they'll adopt an Oaks-Use attitude.
Yeah.
And getting torqued up with the idea from that.
Yeah.
That's what I would
do. When is that? Just 3 months from now?
May.
My anniversary.
Mine too.
Is it?
What day?
May 19th.
That's my anniversary.
Which
That's
one?
That's rare. How about that?
Well, congratulations.
Which one?
Yeah.
Which anniversary?
Wedding anniversary.
Like
you're 15,
you're
20.
Oh, no.
It's my 11. It's my 11, I know. I won't be beaten that
day. Oh, my goodness. Anyway. Any relationship?
You'll get to some point in your life where you're just like Master Oliver and you schedule your meetings on anniversaries and birthdays. Between you and Toby, I don't know how many times the two of you have been beat over the 4 years I've been with you for scheduling on anniversaries and birthdays.
Yeah, yeah. And Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
That is true enough.
But it could be the weekend before.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, where were we? You were...
Yeah, I don't know if I'm next, but I just had to do with this, so I thought I would ask. As I was saying, I haven't done targeted mailing for a while. It's been, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years. I've been doing some postcards, and I've also been doing some every door direct mail. And most of my postcard mailings have been pretty much to my list that I've been developing over the past couple of years. My first question is this. I have a couple of questions. Long-form letter versus postcards. I mean, I know theoretically the long-form letter should pull better. What have you found to be true, and what has everybody else found to be true in martial arts schools?
From a postcard point of view, just because we don't do any of that other stuff, I can tell you a billboard-looking postcard with a very enticing offer on it is pulling very, very well right now. And that's been consistent the last 6 to 12 months.
And that's going to a list of?
Warm leads.
Warm leads.
Yeah.
Okay, warm leads.
My gut instinct is to weed down the copy intensiveness of postcards right now. One of the things that's happening behind the scenes on our end is I'm trimming down the copy of stuff that like Toby will go create it, or they'll pull together ads, the art guy will pull together ads, and I'm trimming out copy rather than adding in copy. Just to emphasize what Robert just said is, the billboard, something that has to get their attention, right? So, you know, it's one of those times where the graphic is real important from the standpoint of them, you know, them immediately recognizing this for them. But I think an even better lesson is that almost everybody is not following up on their leads well enough, right? And Robert's comment about copyright, it's good to get the gist. Right, Kennedy's letter, Ultimate Sales Letter, is a good book.
I have that.
Right, and there's
mine.
Two or three others that are comparable. If you remind me,
that's my new billboard that goes up March 1st.
Wow, yeah, that goes up on
15x30 or something like that.
Cool.
Let me see
how it pulls.
Why don't you get rid of the phone number and put in a special trial offer?
And website instead.
Yeah.
Website's there.
Is this?
Yeah.
Maybe web only offer?
It's a billboard, right?
So
you'd be amazed because the kickboxing one we just did,
yeah,
it was all call-in. It wasn't website driven.
A lot of the call-in is they go look at the website and then they pick a phone and call you too.
Yeah.
So
is your telephone number all numbers or is there a number? So
it's Kick, but you know what? Someone called us from the kickboxing billboard with a brilliant point. Most of your new smartphones don't have letters.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's a good point.
I wouldn't have thought about that.
Say that one more time.
Most of the new smartphones, the iPhones do, but most of the new smartphones do not have letters.
Really?
Under the numbers.
In other words, it's 847 Kick. Is they don't know which number goes with which letter.
Right.
The billboard would be worth experimenting with a text us ad for a special trial offer.
Mm. Or even a QR code for that matter.
Well, then I have to go up to the billboard.
You don't have to. You just hold the phone up, we'll pick it up.
While you drive.
Well, our billboards are at stoplights, at a stoplight. It's right where there's a major stoplight in town.
I've seen some people doing that.
The text?
Well, the QR code.
That was the kickboxing one.
So back to our thing.
Phone
versus postcards.
When we've hit heavy saturation, I've done postcard, long form at the end, right?
Uh-huh.
As opposed to leading with the more expensive piece. And so, if you think about the cost, oversized postcards, 40 cents a piece in the mail bulk. Big numbers, you can do $1.20. You've got three postcards, and it's going to be $1.20 for the long form letter, right? So really, you've got to get triple response from the letter to get the postcards. So I always prefer to beat them up with the postcards and then do the more stuff at the end. Even like on the like renewal stuff we're going to do with all these old legacy members, I hit them with like 10 postcards. But next, what's going to happen is they're going to start getting bang bags and all that crap, right? But if I can get 20% to raise their hand before we have to spend money on the bigger stuff, all the better.
We're talking about to not necessarily to my mailing list, but to
a cold list.
To a cold list of people in the area.
Yeah. But that was my other point, because you're always better off the warm list, right? Okay, how big a prospect list do you have?
It's not a lot big right now. We've been growing it. It's about 500, 600 now. Maybe close to 6.
Okay. So if you had a choice, if you go to USA or whoever, how many prospect lists do you come up with?
Well, that was one of my other questions. I haven't put mailing lists in a while. So who would you recommend for mailing lists?
Well, if you use like Get Members to do the mailing, they'll go get the list. Okay. You want to use your own
postcard?
When I did,
well, then they'll do whatever you want. You don't have to upload everything.
Yeah, but I think I'd be better off buying it through Gary and doing it myself.
Send them on here if you do it posted yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, if somebody will stick out the stamps.
Why? Yeah.
Well, what else am I going to do besides have Get Members do it?
Well, how many do you want to make them?
Well, the list is about 600. So if I mail, several different postcards.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm confused. You're talking about for prospect mailing or for a cold lead mailing?
Well, actually, but first I was talking about cold.
Okay.
The list is not going to be that big. I can tell you, I may have to buy one that I can use.
Right.
But I'm going to guess if I'm lucky, it's going to be 1,500 names. But let's say, parents with children.
Well, several points of conversation is with 1,500 names, and I'm not trying to pitch Get Members, but a company like Get Members, in order to mail in bulk and print in bulk, they want 5,000 and up postcards, which works out just fine. So if you have 1,500 names, you can print a postcard, mail them to them 3 times or 4 times, and you're fine. And what I don't think you want to do is ever touch it, right? So I wouldn't go, suddenly get a box at the door of 5,000 but I mean bulk, you can get the whole thing out the door for 40 cents, including a full color postcard, everything else. You've never touched it, and you don't have to deal with it. And if you want to do smaller runs, there's a bunch of suppliers. I've been using Amazing Mail recently. And Gary on the new print shop, he can do mail merge, personalized, color postcards, digital, for cheaper than Amazing Mail. And I think it's all set up, ready to go now.
He can get the list.
I don't know about the list, but he can have it out the door, postage paid, you don't touch it, right?
If you provide this, yeah, the list form.
So where do I get the list?
InfoUSA is one source, Donnelly is another. We usually use InfoUSA. If you'll remind me, we get a subscription.
How do they change the format?
I think you still have to pay for anything. But they have an online service where you just go in and buy like a diamond name and you're done. So you give them the specifications. They actually draw a little map where you want it. It's simple as hell. We have a subscription to, it's called Sales Genie. And it used to be you could do like unlimited exports for whatever the subscription is. But now I think what it is, they changed the format and it's a diamond name or something like that. You guys use Sales Genie?
Yeah, but I have to admit, I've never used my staff does the interface, yeah. So I've literally never even seen it, but I just knew we had it.
Yeah. It's super simple, and they made it really slick. Like here's an application for Sales Genie. It's probably worth, it's not very expensive, you know, maybe it's $150 a month. Is, let's say we're doing something in elementary school. You can go into Sales Genie, type in the name of the elementary school, the address of the elementary school, and tell them you want a half mile radius of every family with a house, you know, a household, 75,000 up income, children 8 to 12, and you can literally draw the radius of where the school draws from if you have the map, and you can pull everyone that it has in the list from that.
If I got that specific, I'd probably have a couple hundred names.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you can keep, you know, narrowing and subtracting, right? But a usefulness of something like Sales Genie is to be able to, I'm going to XYZ Elementary and I want to mail to them three times before I get there and do the thing, and then I want to be able to follow up from there. And it's not going to pull up 100%, but it's going to pull up a number of them. If you want that many, you know, next week, we'll walk through Sales Genie. I can teach you how to get the list if you want to use it. The other premise is you really should never touch this stuff yourself in most cases. If it's a mailing to a first intro or a second intro or something like that, that's a different story. But if it's your entire prospect list or if it's, you know, go by.
Well, my girl loves it.
Well, no, but
she'll
I mean,
most of it, you know, but if I had a list. Now, what do you think about labels?
Well, but here's
the direct imprint.
But here's what I mean. Is if you outsource to a company, the cost per piece for their side of the labor that is mostly all automated, maybe a penny or two a piece. Okay, I mean, it's nothing, right? If you're I learned this the hard way years ago. One of the early tournaments I promoted is all of a sudden 40,000 flyers showed up and we're going to do a bulk mail. And I had a big staff at the time. And then it dawned on me that mail houses were charging like a penny a piece. Like that, and do the same for everything. But I mean, your choice is something like what Greg can do. It is something like what Amazing Mail can do, which is, you know, small run mail merge, printed on the deal in an envelope or not in an envelope. I think Greg can duplicate that, or it's something like what Get Members can do, and I think Greg can duplicate that. We're getting ready to do a bunch of stuff with Greg. We're taking the entire list of every martial arts school in the country, dividing them out by what style, then doing a style-appropriate look and feel, and then mail merge in of their name and their school name into the front and back of with the billboard and the offer. And so, literally, if every one of them is a print-on-demand item, once you get that many merge fields going here. simple as hell.
It's a great site.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of suppliers that are like that, but I mean, that's one that I've used a lot recently, and it's really, really easy to use. I like send out cards too, because you can make it more like a personal looking card with life stamp and stuff.
Do you think that, do they do direct imprint labels or? Matter on a postcard, do you think?
I don't think it matters on a postcard.
What about offers?
There's two that, in my opinion, pull better than anything else. The two-week offer at either a $20 or $30 price point with a uniform, or the six-week at $69. The percentages we've seen of everything we've tried, those pull higher than anything else.
Did the two-week pull higher than the street?
What?
On the 2 week, did it pull better than free?
You gotta remember, right? For me, I don't want all those trash leads like that. We stopped doing free everything a year ago.
Okay.
So I don't do free anymore because I don't want to wade through all the garbage.
Yeah.
And we still get some, but a lot less than we used to.
Okay, so you're doing 2 weeks, how much?
2 weeks for $29.99 is my standard offer right now.
Okay. Which includes uniform
intro class,
private
101.
And 6 weeks, you did what, 69?
Six for 69, yeah.
Just keep it in mind, they don't go 6 weeks.
No, we're converting after a week.
Yeah. Okay. Well, on either way, I mean, that's for everybody's benefit. You're much better off to take whatever list you can hit and hit it five or six times than to hit a bigger number of people once, right? So I mean, you know that, but I mean, just to keep everybody on focus. In the digital world now, so all this stuff is so inexpensive to get it farmed out. Is you don't have to think in terms of ever, you know, the only time I ever see any of our print pieces is when I get a copy mailed as one of on the list. I mean, literally, I mean, it's all a PDF proof, and you hit send and put in the credit card and it goes, which is what we're looking to get all of the NAV stuff set up with. And probably it'll be a combination of what Greg can do and then, you know, private labeling, something like Amazing Mail. But you really shouldn't have to touch any of this stuff until it's, you know, until you see it actually mailed to you. Good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's next? You're having trouble staying awake, Big Mike.
Okay. And I'll just tell everybody again, it's got nothing to do with the content, but yeah. I don't sleep well when I travel, and I get up and work out no matter what. So 2 days in a row of 4 hours sleep, and I still get up and work out. So.
I told you my story about trying to stay awake, but like it, Kim was talking in Toronto. I'm the co-sponsor and lead of the thing, and had like 2 hours sleep, and I heard the speech 12 times. And if I'm concentrating, I can understand him. If I'm not concentrating, I can't understand him. So we had 40 people or something like that watching us, and it's me and Toby and Kurt Pelt and YK Kim speaking. I was like,
Yes, sir. Well, first, I don't know if I'm supposed to do that as part of this. Did we go over this stuff?
We did not go over the
thing. You want me to do that real quick?
That'd be great.
I'd like to do that quick. I mean, I would say this, you know, I'm sorry that those were color-coded for our use, so they get the red ones got awfully dark. Couple things, if I may. I would like to recommend to everybody, and I think we're all in different stages in that continuum, but among your different goals for 2012, because it's my personal one, even though we're pretty good at it, but that 2012 needs to be the year of documentation for your school. You know, when in doubt, write it out. And we have a lot of stuff already, and I'm trying to double it. You know, I'm trying to show up at a meeting every week with, you know, I run two staff meetings a week for the last 15 years, and yet I probably gave out 12 handouts over that time period, even though we have lots of scripts and those type of things.
Really?
And so now I'm finding out that, you know, oh, remember we talked about this, or we did this, and at any given time, my staff were zoning out. At any given time, they weren't paying attention. At any given time, we had staff turnover. So now to be able to say, okay, when we had somebody new, great, here's the handout on this. Oh, great, here's on this situation, that situation, this situation. And I'm a little bit even inclined towards Master Oliver's style, too, of handouts as opposed to the one big, even though we'll die, I have our one big manual, but I'm learning the value of that, the drip method, here's these two pages I want you to focus on, read it, commit it to memory, let's talk about it today or whatever. Anyway, so I've made a personal goal to be the year of documentation as much as possible. In my opinion, one of the things that you hold in your hands is a relatively easy project for you to all bite off, especially if you want to be headed into multiple locations. What would be notable is that, right, Grandmaster Chung and I own five schools, and neither of which we teach in or show up at, in any really, daily form, right? We care about the schools enormously so. Are we focused a lot on the schools? Absolutely so. Do we teach any of the classes, do any of the enrollment procedures? No, not at all.
You can't do your job if you aren't.
That's right. And realistically, right. I mean, this as the CEO of any major chain cares a great deal about that chain as well, but he's right. Not actually doing any of those tasks.
Only occasionally doing is to see what's really happening.
That's right, which is important. Anyway, so for a lot of different reasons, do you have what your presentation would be to the students at each different level of what to expect? I have to admit, I took the title from the pregnancy book, which I didn't read, but was on my wife's dresser at the time, what to expect when you're expecting.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't we say, this is after
enrollment. Don't forget there's what to expect in the first year.
That's right, they now have that, right. So, and actually, I guess I have to admit that and you always borrow or steal the best ideas from different places. Our pediatrician, we went to, and he said, now there's two options. One could be I can give you this big giant book about raising your child over the next 3 years, which you're not going to read. Mm-hmm. Or number two, I'm going to give you what's now that he's teething, now that he's this, now that he's that, now that he's that. And that's how they did it. Mm-hmm. So to me, what this allowed me to do was to sit down with Grandmaster Chung and say, what are the frequently asked questions at this point? What are the technical things that we need to? So in other words, giving you a formula, one for each belt level. We happen to, because we don't do rotating curriculum, have a white belt children's class, yellow belt, green belt, blue belt, red belt, et cetera. That's where adjustments in curriculum occur. So you would address those.
You don't do a rotating curriculum.
I'm sorry?
You do not do a rotating curriculum.
Yeah.
There's another piece of low-hanging fruit.
I'm sorry?
There's another piece of low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, that's a whole other kettle of fish. But yes, sir. That's obviously an element that I'm aware of, too.
It took me just 3 years.
Right.
And now you never go back.
Really?
So it took me to more taekwondo as well.
Right.
So Mike, it basically, big Mike.
Yeah.
you give these out to each student when they reach this level. Like this has a beginner, and this is when they get their yellow belt.
Right. We have a belt testing ceremony students test anywhere from 2 to 3 or 4 months. You know, when they test, we do charge a $40 testing fee. Mm-hmm. Therefore, so just because I want to weave it all together, right? So now they paid this $40 testing fee. They're going to get their belt. They're going to get a DVD of the new levels requirements, and they're going to get this. They're going to get their certificate, and they're going to get this letter. So a little bit of value added, or a little bit of substantive stuff for that. That testing.
I just stop you 1 second there, because this may be something you think if you're going to put an upgrade program in, right? It's something you might want to be thinking about. Like we have test fees. But I have 2 upgrades, 2 separate upgrades. But the test fees go to half on the first one and none on the second one.
Right.
Our belt curriculum, you can't buy it. The only way you get it is being part of the program. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of that stuff there that you might at some point want to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Add the value that way.
Right. Right. The DVDs. Right. The DVD included membership.
You can't get it any other way.
Right. Right.
That's the Bill Clark way.
The only other thing that I would say about the letters, which is consistent with our testing procedure, right? So if you do these, right, we're doing them to reestablish particularly Grandmaster Chung's role in their process. So now people have considered that between the DVD and the letter that they know who Grandmaster Chung is. Now he comes and tests them, he's at the belt testing as often as possible, but they would think that they've been reading his philosophy or hearing him talk to them about this belt level. And so it establishes the head instructor, which I think is important, the grandmaster, especially if you're going to have multiple locations. Number two, it addresses any particular technical things, though not in detail. That's what our mega, I didn't bring these to pass out of it, but that's what our mega student manual is. So that's the white belt to the black belt version. Establish the leader, take care of any of the technical questions or some. And then the third one, which is consistent with our testing procedure, is a little bit of what I would call reselling the sold, right? Which, again, could definitely be utilized for some degree of upgrade, communication, or whatever. But just reminding them why it's an important thing that they're in the program. Reminding them it's a good thing in the program. And then I think, which is the underpinning of the whole thing, which we've already talked about, is, right, this is better than any of, these are better than any of my staff could have come up with as their presentation of the new belts. Right? So in one fell swoop, what I or Grandmaster John wanted to be said to the different people at the different levels, this is accomplished. Would a live presentation be even better? And if we scripted it out even better, is that an awfully tough process to make happen? Yeah. Absolutely. So the letters. And the final thing, I guess, is to say that even with all the internet and email stuff and whatever, and I'm also a Dan Kennedy subscriber and read a lot of that stuff, there's still an awful lot to be said for a piece of paper put on somebody's hand, put in someone's hands at the event moment to get them to actually read or take action on it. So
you hand these out right at the promotion?
At the belt testing. Right. So literally what happens is we do our belt testing, we do belt promotions the same day, which was a unbelievable change for us at one point. That used to be, for color belts, that used to be a 1 week probation period. We cut it to four, cut it to three, cut it to two. Then we've only done that this last year. Last year we started doing the same belt the same day. Anyway, they get their belts, and some of my schools do it different, but either on their way out or presented with their belt, here's your belt, your certificate, and the DVD stuff.
And so this paper itself is handed to them when? Right at the end, as they're walking out the door?
That doesn't really matter to me either. On their way out, or some of our staff don't like giving it to them when they're getting their belts because then they got to put it down, put on their belt, or whatever. But I can say that the process, by the end of that testing day, they've got those new materials.
You've got a lot of infrastructure. Are you set up where you can direct mail to them, keyed off of the
Yeah, we could print it out. Print out the address of everybody.
Yeah.
You said something else I think that was like really valuable. I don't know if everybody really caught it, but he said one of the things we're doing is reselling the program. It's something that we forget about so well. We have to remind people, we sell them and we put them in the thing, but we so often forget to remind them why they're there, why this is valuable, why they're coming.
Well, which we didn't do. Again, the other procedure of having a formal belt test as opposed to having, a group test of everybody. And we're still, for as big as we are, some of our stuff is old school. It's a belt testing day. It's 40 students. Everybody sit down, call up four people. They're going to run through their stuff. But their belt testing form, right? What do you enjoy most about Taekwondo? What do you find most challenging about Taekwondo? What is your goal in Taekwondo? For parents only, what areas of progress or challenges your child experienced during this testing period? In our opinion, we're making little marks here about their scores of their performance stuff. But the main thing is, as a result of watching that performance and reading this, and Grandmaster Chung usually, or if I'm doing testing board, right, is what is it about this student's experience that I can highlight for this group today that's going to help to read. So in our opinion, testing is a huge retention event, not because the students are progressing to the next level, and it might even include stuff like, during the last 6 months, John was demotivated and frustrated at times because it was taking so long to get to this next belt level. However, we are so glad he persevered and learned the lesson of not giving up. Thank you to the instructors for their patience and encouragement. We will read that out loud in front of everybody, and Grandmaster Chung, who is not so subtle, will hammer the point home. That's right. See? And the Johnny's experience could be any of these other red belts' experience. It's not that easy to make that final leap towards your, black belt testing, but you can do it, and we appreciate your support. I don't know why I'm doing it, Grandmaster Chung. Oh, it's amazing I haven't lapsed into it this whole week. But and remarkably, just quickly, remarkably, the technical stuff is here. Guess what the questions are on every single form? What do you enjoy most about Taekwondo? What do you find most challenging about Taekwondo? What's your goal in Taekwondo? What progress or experiences your child, you know, over the last contestant period? It's the identical question on every form. And you get some people that go the one-step sparring, the self-defense, the sparring, whatever. But some people will write a book for you. If I'm moderating with Grandmaster Chung, I'll kind of write a star, so this one's going to be good. This one's going to be good. And so it is, again, his way or my way if I'm there. Mr. Oliver talked about the event of us coming in, what can I do? I'm in your school, one of my five schools. If I'm in your school today, I'm going to help to resell. Speaking up on me. I'm going to help to resell everybody that's in the school on why they're here, what's the purpose of the journey, what's the... In other words, it's like saying, you know, again, show people along the path of the journey. And we test in groups because it's too large, but also the lower belts together and the knees together and the ends together. It's really those three questions and then your requirements at the bottom. I mean, if you get that essence, you know, that would be it. They happen to be, again, to make it easy on testing day, right?
Three questions, one more time, please.
What do you enjoy most about Taekwondo? And again, out of 100 candidates that test in a day, someone's going to say, I like my instructors because they're always patient and encouraging. And we are going to read in front of the audience. John, you said what you enjoy most about Taekwondo is all the instructors are patient and encouraging. Thank you. I know that, you know, Sensei Baca and Grandmaster Pace, you know, are always working so hard, and they really want to see you do the best that you can all the time, and you know you can always come to them for help. Right? Like, we have it clear. This, as opposed to, in all honesty, some of the... using Grandmaster Oliver's terminology, idiots who run testing and say, John, did you know during your test that, you know, I'm Grandmaster and I need to establish while I'm here that I know more than everybody else in the room, right?
During your test, speak up my turn, right?
Well, more freely used.
I'm the morons in my work.
Yeah, sorry.
Second question.
What do you enjoy most about Taekwondo? Second one, what do you find most challenging about Taekwondo? Because in our opinion, addressing the problem head on, right? What are we most excited about in listening, right? Tell me about the challenges in your school. So make them say it means that, okay, we've, number one, identified it in front of everybody, and we're committed to working through it. And guess what? Everybody else. See, to me, and I think we're all doing it pretty well, if you're not talking to people about the fact that they're going to encounter obstacles and want to quit at one point, you are not setting them up properly for success. What is your goal in Taekwondo? We want that, you know, we want them to obviously write down, and again, some people write down black belt, black belt, black belt, black belt, black belt, all 11, all 12 of their forms. Some people write 5th degree black belt, 8th degree black belt, 9th degree black belt, whatever. My standard joke 100% of the time is somebody will put down, you know, told my own school someday, and I will look at it as, wow, Jason, you know, 7-year-old green belt kid. What is your goal? Is to own your own school someday. Wow, good. Not in this town. And then the final one, it says, for parents only, what areas of progress or challenge has your child experienced during this testing period? Well, once in a blue moon time, and I'll admit it, once in a blue moon time, but it's really extremely rare, somebody will write down, I didn't understand why Master Kim was not allowing my child to test during the blah, 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 and it'll be a complaint type thing that they're thinking, all right, put it in front of the executives, which is fine. But when I say once in the blue, I don't mean once per test. I mean, I don't even know if I mean once per year.
What's the question? You know, what
areas, and again, I don't know if my grammar's right, these are not every year. What areas of progress or challenge has your child experienced during this testing period? Perhaps the coloring of that makes it so that whatever the challenges are they talk about, usually they've overcome them. Mm-hmm. You know, as opposed to saying what benefits did your child receive? We could do that, but we really believe in reselling the soul, not just on the benefits of our program, but maybe that's already come out from the way I'm doing this, reselling them on the benefits of persevering through the challenges. If you watch The Biggest Loser, if you know any fitness programming, whatever, you've got to coach people through the painful part, right? It's not all fun and giggles to achieving anything, right? So you're going to have to deal with, for some of the changes we're talking about, you're going to have to lose a staff member to get to a better team of people. You're going to have to lose money on marketing to get to better return on investment on better marketing. As Grandmaster Oliver would say, right, our experience, what's experience? Or Tony Robbins does it, right? You have a lot of experience means I've made a lot of mistakes. Right, and so to us, we love to say we'll do it. We'll do it in front of everybody. It's the right atmosphere again, because everybody who's there is already testing anyway, so it's pretty good. At times, they're, you know, at times getting ready for this black belt cycle, John even considered quitting. We'll read it gladly, comfortably,
yeah.
Because again, the rest of it is. But John's here in front of us today testing.
Right.
So moms and dads, right? Because you know, if I haven't already emphasized or haven't really mentioned it,
it's worth pointing out that there's an awful lot that they've built into their culture that are pre-framing people to get over humps and stay, which is part of why you've got the retention numbers.
Absolutely.
Across the
organization. Yeah. Our average enrollments per month. It is across all five schools, probably average of 18 new students a month, maybe gusts up to a high of 22. Like I said, it'd be a party if we had 120, you know, all five schools got 20 students in a month. I don't know if I've ever seen it, but we really do don't lose more than about three, believe it or not, our largest school, 650 members, is right now the tightest one. They're not losing more than 3%, but you know, very good team that's been in place for a while, knows their stuff. Maybe they're even more anal because you know they have so many people. You know, I'm not going to go through all. I mean, I'm happy to go through all of our retention procedures, but number one is, you know, I'll do a very fast version that I used to do when I was in seminars. Right, four keys, and I think I did them as this. Number one was education. Right, you have to educate from the time of enrollment time of enrollment means. During the sales presentation, while reviewing the black belt curriculum, you're saying there's going to be ups and downs, there'll be difficulties, whatever. If you don't do that, then, you know, I never, don't worry, getting them the black belt, that's our job. We'll take care of it. It's a piece of cake. We've been so successful. That's foolish. So that's going to be the education point. The next one is going to be the motivation point, which I think Will Mayer used to always talk about, you know, fun and progress. People are motivated when they're experiencing fun and progress. There's a thousand, again, this is the 5 minute 40-minute seminar.
I talked to Will last week.
Oh, did you? I haven't talked to him in years and years. But the right motivation is a function of fun and progress. You all have, you know, again, there's so many subsets of that. What makes classes fun, right? The instructors, the curriculum, the variety. I should mention that we're huge on events, and our events rock. We have what would be considered an extremely vanilla curriculum, an old school curriculum compared to many, many, many of you. I mean, it's a form, some one step sparring, some regular sparring, and a board break, and that's what we do. You know, I mean, a lot of kicking drills, obviously, because we're Taekwondo. But you know, there's really a very plain Jane curriculum in place. However, we run an awesome board break-a-thon for charity every year. We raise about $60,000 to $70,000 a year. That's 500 people board breaking. We host two of our own tournaments every year. Our annual summer picnics, 1,000 people. Our awards banquet was 400 people. You know, we run great events, so there's those emotional spikes. But anyway, that's under the topic of fun and progress, and that's the motivation aspect. The third retention aspect would be identification. You know, which again, most of us are getting pretty good at. What's your hard system and soft system for identifying students who are fading? One of my seniors, actually, and he's always a hobbyist school owner, had a great phrase. He said, "Michael, how many people quit last year?" And I said, "Oh, sorry, I'll be honest. We got thousands of students, a couple hundred." But he said, "No, how many quit? How many walked in and said, 'I quit'?" And that number is in the dozens, even though you lose hundreds. He said, "People don't quit; they fade away. The question is, do you catch the fade?" And so when we say identification would refer to first the hard systems, which is if you're not keeping attendance, right, and using attendance cards and doing a DNS list at the end of a week, did a show list, you can't even pretend to call yourself a school, right? Because if my son didn't show up at school for 2 weeks and they didn't call me, right, I said, what kind of school is this? So that's your hard system or those cards and whatever kind of reporting. You know, we've got great classroom reporting that shows how many classes and how many classes in the last 30 days. And, you know, we built our own software system. But the other half of the identification is, of course, getting off the floor and talking with parents and asking, how's Johnny? With a similar spin off of the same questions. You know, we call them the three power questions. How's Johnny enjoying the program? How are you enjoying the program? Are there any questions or concerns I could relay to our staff? If you ask yourself, when's the last time I heard the answers to those questions? Not Mike Pace is an A-rated parent, little Mikey, you know, is loving it. I know that they're great. Okay, how do you know that? Because when they signed up 2 years ago, they were real excited about it. But actually, little Mikey just went to the tournament, got his butt kicked in the tournament last week, and they're not going to tell you because they're still on a contract or whatever. So you could really do with your staff of, what have you done for me lately? In other words, when was the last time you asked these questions? How are you enjoying? How's Mikey enjoying it? How are you enjoying it? Because those are two separate things. We want them to be interrelated. And then, by the way, are there any other questions or concerns, you know, things that I could, you know, bring up to any of our staff? If you knew that answer, right? And it's difficult in a 600 person school, but so you can't be daily. But let's say you made a goal to ask 5 people a day. For most of you, after the course of a month, you know you're only 4 weeks away from the most recent answer on that. That's your subjective system for knowing, for identifying. So, and then of course,
how long do you have any system set up for? When's the last time somebody asked these questions?
No, that I have to admit, that's more of a staff training one. It comes out. I'll go with the assumption some. That if their attendance list is tight, you know, in other words, the number of people that didn't show, and their inactivations are fairly tight, that is one of our staff training procedures. But it's still going to be a documentation that during this year, I've been saying the 3 power questions for years, and yet I could have a new manager, or now he was an assistant manager, now he's going to say, oops, he doesn't, you know, because it's not on a document anywhere. You know, our top 10 retention, you know, so this year our staff are going to get a lot of top 10 lists. You know, the top 10 things that need to happen for massive retention. The top 10 things that need to happen for all, you know, in every beginner's class. The top 10 things, and at one point I may have them, you know, committed to memory. You know, tell me the top 10 of this or this or this. And I'm sorry, the last category then would be, you know, reaction, which is really the last. In other words, the category you don't want to be in some ways, and it's kind of like saying that, you know, everything before that is saying prevention is better than cure, right? You want to minimize the amount of students where you need to step in and try to do something to save them. To a certain degree, reaction is doing the attendance calls every single week. Reaction is setting up free booster classes, as what we call them. Reaction can be something more dramatic, like a parent-teacher conference or whatever. But just like you don't want to ask in a self-defense situation, what do you do when you're already on the ground and the guy's got his knee in your back and a gun to the back of your head? You know, how do you get out of that? Well, once they come in and sit down and say, you know, we've already decided we want to quit, how do we get out of our contract? We want to try to avoid that as much as possible. And I just find that having that construct of, okay, we've got the motivate, we've got the education at the beginning. You're going to love it here. It's going to be very good for him, but he will have ups and downs. When those happen, come see me. Number 2, motivation. Put the best program you can out on the floor every single day. Great facilities with great staff who really care about the people, and great special events to have a great spike. Identification, have both hard and soft systems that let you know your students are fading at different times. You need to know when that fade is occurring. And then as a not really last-ditch effort, because we can still do pretty good there, but the reacting, okay, whether it's doing the attendance call or doing the booster class or doing the private conference, but even the private conference, you're going to be a lot more successful if all these other steps have been in place. And you can say, remember when we enrolled Mrs. Smith and I told you that there was going to be ups and downs and at times there were going to be challenges? Well, here, that's where we're at right now, right? Because it doesn't come across like, is it ever going to come across like you're trying to save the student? Or are you trying to save the contract? And it can come across like you're trying to save the student if you've been consistent with this process and this construct from the very beginning. You know, and they're going to be more willing to work with you if they see where your mindset is at. So there's obviously subsets and documents and procedures and processes with all of those. But I find it useful if you go back and say, geez, I'm pretty strong on the motivation, but I might be a little weak on the identification or some version thereof. And just one piece for the identification, the attendance calls, because I know everybody needs to do them and we should do them. More maniacs about it. Very few people that I've seen ever on a statistic sheet put how many people are on the DNS list, how many have been reached. And that was big to us, because I don't care. Okay, we had 50 people on attendance list. Okay, how many have you talked to? So every Monday when we had the staff meeting, you know, for the following week, how'd you do? Did you reach those people that were there? And all the attendance lists, I've been amazed at people's calling procedure. The procedure, the end point of the conversation, which is just like with our sales reps, is what's happening next,
yeah.
Right?
There's no
Hi, Mr. Yeah, which doesn't happen. They sometimes get in there, hi, Mr. Pace, how are you? Good. Oh, I'm just calling because we haven't seen Mikey for a little while. Oh, we've been busy and all that. Okay, well, please let him know the instructors are asking about him and we'll see you soon. Yes, okay, sure, great, bye. Then I ask, when's Mike Pace coming in? Well, I don't know.
You wouldn't do that
if you wouldn't do that for an appointment, right? So we want it to be a little more concrete about that. So the two goals of that attendance call is, when are they coming in next? And do it as a customer service touch. Would you let John know that I was asking about him? And guess what? If they are at all hemming and hawing about it, not avoid opening the door or the can of worms that we said for it, go for it and open it. Because if they, what would you prefer? They don't tell you they're going to quit, and they quit anyway and don't pay, or they tell you they want to quit and therefore you can address
it.
So, oh, you know, we've just been busy and, you know, we'll get there soon. Okay, Mr. Pace, you know, I want to just make sure the instructors are informed. Is there any concern or is anything going on? Well, you know what? Fine. He's like, happier. You want to have a massive number of students. You got to be happier to have complaints than not. Mm-hmm. If you got an enormous amount of complaints, you're running a bad program. If you have zero complaints, you don't have an open line of communication.
Are you keeping track of the do not shows by week?
Yes, sir.
So you've got them 1 week, 2 week, 3 week.
Yes, sir. Yeah, our software prints it out.
Yeah. Is everybody doing that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, and after 3 weeks, I mean, just to try and keep tighter active counts, after 3 weeks, we're basically saying, all right,
they're gone. Yeah.
They're gone for good.
What benchmark percentage are you looking at for each week?
Of what percentage attending classes? You know what, ours is never as high as what people tell me, you know, the goal would be, right? About like, in 1 week's time, you're going to see like 90% of students or something like that.
Right.
I mean, I guess I would say this. I think when you get to the mega school size, it starts to, have more category, more quantity. Like a 200 person school, we might see 160-170 people.
Right.
But I don't know that in a 650 person school, we see all 500 and whatever that number would be that it needs to be.
Well, I'm thinking of this. It is, if you had a current week active, then you have 1 week inactive, 2 week inactive, 3 week inactive. I always took the 1 week inactive with kind of a grain of salt. I mean, we're trying to get all of them, but if it's July 4th week or something or other, I mean, it's, you have spikes and valleys, whatever, two-week and three-week, I was always benchmarking really tight. And if 2 week was ever above 2% and 3 week was ever above 1%, it was a crisis, mm-hmm. Right? So, and you extrapolate it out, 1% at 4 weeks, it's 4.2% attrition. So I was always paying really close attention that they didn't get 1 week inactive, and 2 week inactive, 2 week inactive, and 3 week inactive, and then a benchmark for everybody to be paying attention. And the standard benchmark for 1 week inactive might be 10%, but then that so seasonally fluctuates that, I mean, who knows? But you're usually attuned to that, right? The kids are out on spring break or there's some big sports thing going on. I mean, when Denver first got a hockey league, I was so pissed off because they went to the playoffs with Stanley Cup and they had like 92 playoff games or something, I think. And our 1 week went way the hell down because everybody's staying home watching the damn hockey game, for God's sake. So, you are going to have stuff like that that you're not control.
And I'll mention, too, that obviously, which is hard with multiples, but it has to be important, what's important to you should be important to your staff, but you have to make sure you can't realistically have everything be important, right? You can't, how many lead card boxes did you get out, plus how many after-school programs did you schedule, plus I tried that, I realized, wait a second, I need to prioritize what I care about. One of my staff actually came and he says, what do you want? I got 8 after-school programs set up and I didn't put on the lead boxes, to be honest.
True lead boxes.
Because I'm doing these things that are going to bring us this, and you're telling me once in a blue moon time someone's going to come in one of these. But one thing that you would want to have without question, because it's just a very profitable thing to be focused on, is you've got to have the minimum attrition rate possible and be focused around that. And if you ever want to make sure that your staff are eating a little bit of humble pie or not thinking that you're just raking it in all the time. And I have to admit, I made a note to myself to get back to it because I felt like it was one of the tightest things we ever did, is however you want to shape them, you know, this is a whole school system. Put a marker board and put a thermometer type thing and put all the new students this month, and next to it put all the inactive students this month. Mm-hmm. And I swear when that sucker was up, you know, Crystal, write this. Because, you know, I have managers write, oh, I signed up 24 this month. Well, that's wonderful, but you lost 22.
Now, what I always had is I had a graph in the office, a week-by-week graph rather than a thermometer. And what it had is it had the 1 week inactive, 2 week inactive, 3 week inactive each week as a percentage. And then it was how many new students and how many we had lost in the previous month.
Sure.
And it was graphing across. And of course, then they can see.
Right.
Well, I did 24 enrollments and our active went like this.
Right.
And again, from a staff training standpoint, having that graphically is much more powerful than just raw numbers. The other thing, Hafner in his, last time I was there in his conference room, you know, the like the bulletin board things you see a lot of times in hotel conference rooms where they fold out. I pulled it out and there's all these Polaroid pictures. I said, what's that? He said, that's everybody who dropped out last month that I'm pissed off about. And so, well, why are they there? Well, every staff meeting we go through them. And did you hear Mike's conversation about new things happen in Disney with Meg makes it her, Meg, whatever her name is, right, is in charge of property. So Meg has her meetings. It's the old Tom Peters thing. He talks about like a tire manufacturer was deciding, you know, was making an issue, get rid of what they called blemmies, which was basically, you know, ones that didn't come out perfect. And finally the guy gets out there and chops them up for a week in the middle of the factory, just chopping up blemmies. And that was the only way you got the point across that we're not going to do this anymore. You know, the main thing was having a group meeting with all of 55,000 or 60,000 employees. Well, you've got to beat something like that. Anything you're trying to accomplish, you've got to beat it to death. It's got to be out of your mouth every time you see them.
That's right, yeah. You've got to pick the two or three things that are most important to you and put those numbers in front of your guys. And I just realized for myself, again, because we've got, the bigger you get, and I took Master Oliver's advice too on the computer system, we built our own. I got more metrics than you can shake a stick at and get everything. And I told myself, you know what, I'm going to give a chart and I'm going to show, or maybe I'll think about the graph, you know, the number of enrollments, your signing percentage, the student value, and the attrition rate. You know, and if that's what I care about, then that's the game we're in.
Yeah.
That's the sport that we're in. You know, there's a couple of books about open book management, the great game of business.
Yeah, that one's a good one. Jack Stack,
yes, sir.
Go ahead. On the reaction, you mentioned a couple. You mentioned mentoring, and there was something else that you...
Well, I said the most common one is the attendance call, and just making sure that there's some different levels of attendance call. You know,
but reaction was when there was a problem.
Right, yeah. Right. It's reacting to the student level.
Oh, okay.
Drop out.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Yeah, reacting to what you found from the identification. You know,
okay.
That there's a, you know, the academic world, right, they'd be calling at risk kids, right, at risk of dropout. So we want to be as proactive as possible about that.
Yeah, let me point something out before you go on. Is I think we talked about this on the phone, but sometimes as you get bigger and have more infrastructure and more people, is things start looking too professional, and you've got to guard against that because you want it to look personal, not professional. In our case, now it doesn't mean you want unprofessional, right? But like something that Kim and Dave Kovar did for years. I'm not sure they're still doing it. But, you know, they had all the in-house infrastructure and all that stuff as well. And if you took, like, this letter, and now it's mail merged and says, Dear Billy, you know, my congratulations on your new thing, and it has a blue signature at the bottom, is it creates more of a connection than looking like this. And the other thing is there's a natural tendency to polish and professionalize the look of things, which leads people not to read it. And you've got to be careful, because really what you want is you want them to get the content, not for them to be impressed with the look of the stuff that you give them out. And if it were me, I would have every time they get a personal letter from the Grandmaster, congratulating them, and especially as he gets further away from doing the actual testing, right? And so I always, in our organization, always made it an effort that they get a personal letter from me. And so a personal letter from me, blue signature, mail version of the name, if it's at all possible, you know, behind the scenes. And then what you want them to see, put it in the a lot of it, put it in the personal letter. And then you can do a handout that's, you know, still titled same thing, what to expect as a new white belt student. You can have something like this, but I would be careful about the formatting to make sure that when you look at it, things jump out at you. Somebody else had given me something yesterday. I apologize, I don't remember what it was. But my reaction was I looked at it and I didn't see anything because it all ran together, right? And so I would be very careful about, one, moving everything as possible to personal, and still looking like it came out of a laser jet printer or looking like it came out of a typewriter. As people click mentally, blue signature, even if it was printed on coming out of the printer, their names on there, even though they know the digital mail margin, all that stuff, that it may or may not be personal. I mean, hell, you know, I still have people come up to me, and I just send out 65,000 emails with the merge field, and they go, "Wow, you know, it's, I'm so impressed. You're still sending me all that information personally." After, yeah, they, you know, they still react as if it is personal, and especially if it's a mail, right? So, any thoughts on that? I mean, that's one of the things I noticed. You have these systems, but sometimes it's so slick that it takes away from the sense that. I think the example I used on the phone was like the syllabus at Harvard, right? Is I would much rather chunk it up and make it look like, you know, you sat down and it was individualized for them this week, even if it's not, than to look like it's part of the machine. And as a bigger organization, your challenge is it starts looking like it's part of the machine, and then I don't feel like I'm paid attention to it as well. So, think about other services you use. A dentist, a lawyer, and so forth, right? The more it looks like everything's four colors, slick, everything else, sometimes it connotes the opposite. In other words, it connotes a lower value product and a lower value service and something that's, you know, LegalZoom rather than the top corporate attorney for XYZ. Sometimes you want to go the opposite direction to give a perception of value.
Now, sir, because I was going to undertake the process of redoing our quote brochure and changing it not to be a brochure.
Right.
I know you do have, at least you did at one point, a full color, multi-page, very slick in a way, you know, brochure.
Which I like to include like a personal looking cover letter with.
Okay.
Right. For the schools, we've got a 36-page color brochure bound in with a CD and a DVD and a full package. I'll tell you what, it doesn't work very well unless we walk people through and explain it to them. So if we don't pop it open, tell them what's in there, what they need to look at, and in the inner cover, there's a deal just like this from me. So there's a little checklist. But what we do is we give them essentially the identical thing in a more personal-looking checkbox letter that goes with it because we know that they don't read that.
Right.
And if we don't walk them through and say, this CD is this, why don't you put it in the car on the way home, and this DVD is this, and like in the renewal process, we have ASF do it. They just drop ship on the renewal DVD, but we know that if we don't actually look them in the eye, give it to them, you know, on that teleconference, Jeff was talking about like the basket, so he's giving them a basket of popcorn and Gatorade and sending them home to watch. If we don't do that, they don't pay any attention to it. Does that make sense?